Okay, so we're going to talk about one of the most iconic and enigmatic images of all of Sefer Shmos. Come on in. Yes, slide in so you can stand there. Okay. Of all of Sefer Shmos, and it's the bush. And the Sfas Emes spoke about the Sneh in Enu Ukal over 30 years. I mean, it's a 30-year process. I'm summarizing, and I'm also working backwards, not necessarily chronologically what ideas he developed first, but I'm going to move from the least Kabbalistic to the second most Kabbalistic to the most Kabbalistic. And we're talking about three different aspects of the bush. One aspect is what this says about Hashem's presence. What does the bush say about Hashem's presence? Why is the first Gila Shechinah to Moshe in a bush? Second of all, why is that bush not being consumed? What does that say about Jewish experience in Galus? Third of all, is going to have an entirely different version of what this image means. It's like a whole reworking of the image to tell us something about not just Jewish survival in Galus, but Jewish purpose in Galus. Okay, so let's work with the easiest, not the easiest one, but the one that has least Kabbalah to it. What is HaKadosh Baruch Hu of all the places to appear to Moshe Rabbeinu? The first Gilui Shechinah in Sefer Shmos, this is the Sefer of Gilui Shechinah. The first Gilui Shechinah is in a lowly bush. The answer is to demonstrate that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence is everywhere, not just in highfalutin palaces and roaring cliffs and impressive oceans, but Hashem's presence. And again, that's one of the differences between non-Kabbalah and Kabbalah. In non-Kabbalah, Hashem's presence is the Shechinah, His Hashgach is everywhere, but His presence isn't felt, doesn't stream. Hashem created everything, but Hashem's presence doesn't sustain, doesn't. He recreates every day. So every day I make a new chocolate cake, but I'm not in the chocolate cake. I make the chocolate cake, and then I maybe watch the chocolate cake, I distribute the chocolate cake. But in Kabbalah traces every part of reality and how it continues to be sustained by the flow from HaKadosh Baruch Hu's essence down through the olamos. So Hashem's presence is not just creating everything, but it can inhere it anywhere. This is a major, major Kabbalistic moment, that Hashem's presence is in a sneh. How many shrubberies are there? How many thickets are there? How many thistles and hedges? I mean, countless. They're unimpressive, they're lowly, they don't really grow high, they're thorny, they're not elegant. It's a kal vachomer. Hashem's presence is there. And of course, since Chassidus is always speaking about Galus, then Hashem's presence is also in Galus. And, as I've told you so often in Chassidus, there's a lot of blurring between Galus and Geula. So listen to this. This is not etymologically sound. If you're a grammarian, you may want to close your ears. But Chassidus has a whole different way of understanding grammar. He says, let me see if I can find it for you here. Sharesh Shem Galus. The root of the word galus, al shem hisgalus, revelation. Galus and hisgalus, they're not etymologically from the same root, but one is giloi, one is ligalot, but in Chassidus, there's a lot of word manipulation. It doesn't necessarily meet the standards of high grammar. So even though you think you're in galus, it's still a place where Hashem Shechina is revealed. Even though you think you're in a sneh, far removed from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence is there. Okay, so that's one idea, having nothing to do with the fire, nothing to do with the bush, nothing to do with the bush not being consumed or devoured. Hashem appeared, let's say Hashem had appeared in a bush. That's the bush imagery. Second factor, this is a bush in which is not being devoured, which is not being consumed, which is on fire. This is a remez, number two, for the fact that even when Jews are in Galus, they won't be consumed. This is a remez from HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Moshe that Jewish survival is eternal. And no matter how much of a fire will be set to the Jewish people, you can only imagine listening to this Sfas Emes in Poland or similar statements in Chassidus during the 19th century, right after a pogrom, because this was the week, this Parsha Shmos, Vayechi, it's right after the week of 25th of December, 1st of January, a lot of hatred, a lot of virulent anti-Semitism, a lot of minor, I'm not talking major pogroms, but even minor local pogroms. So, and this is when HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe, this is a very strange pasuk. This is the symbol that you will, you know, that I'm redeeming them, that you will come to this mountain and worship me. Tabdino says, Al Harazeh. How is that a proof that the Jewish people will be redeemed? That's just the next stop. So the word os, outside of Chassidus, has to be reworked. This is a symbol that I'm redeeming you, that I'm sending you, that you're going to come to this mountain. According to the Sfas Emes, this is a symbol that I'm redeeming them because this is a symbol that can never be destroyed. Jewish history is eternal, it's perpetual. So that burning bush that isn't devoured becomes a symbol of Jewish survival. Major, major, I don't think people know about this. Major symbol of Jewish survival. The Jews can be victimized and terror, but we will survive. And that's the Moshe's symbol. That's our symbol. Remember, Hasidus is a message to people who are stuck in the seemingly endless galus. Jewish people will survive history. Okay? Now the most complicated part of this imagery. Okay? When the Torah describes the bush, it doesn't say that the bush was on fire but wasn't being consumed. All that we've talked about before. Yishkoach Mark on the davening today. It says, Belabas Eish. What does the word Belabas Eish mean? The word Labas comes from the word Lev, heart. The image, again, he's very, very precise about the image. There's an internal fire within the bush. It's concealed, it's central, but isn't spreading. So it's not just combustion not happening on the entire bush, but it's also something concealed within something larger. The inner part is on fire, it's alive, it's light, it's radiant. The outer part is dark. There's a lay. When the Medrash tries to enunciate this by quoting a pasuk in Shir HaShirim. In Shir HaShirim, in one of the stages in which the woman is thinking and dreaming about her husband, Am Yisrael is dreaming about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, very famous pasuk. Ani yeshena, I am asleep, v'libi er, but my heart is awake. So the same concept of lave, remember your lave, I don't know what's in your heart. Your heart could be very enthused and very passionate. I don't see it because your face may not display, guys, your face may not display it. So belabas esh means there's an internal part that is light and is full of passion. There's an external part that's dark, that isn't. To the Sfas, this represents Jewish people in Gullus. That even though you may not see their passion, okay, this is not just the statement that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is there for you, but you're there for you. You may not feel that you're excited about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but remember, deep down, there's a part of the Jewish heart that is taken directly from Hashem. That part can never be tainted, nor can it be depassionized. It can never be undone from its passion. So Hashem is telling Moshe, no matter how dark the encasing is, and no matter how much that passion doesn't spread, in Gullus, it's still there. It's alive. You may be sleeping. Your heart's on fire. The bush may be dark around it, but internally, belabas esh, there's a passion. And it's strange. How come that passion doesn't spread? How could a dark place, such as Gullus, contain and stifle and that's what I'm looking for, restrain such passion? Madua lo yivar hasna. It seems so difficult to us that on an emotional level, our hislavas doesn't explode. On a Kabbalah level, that something so deep and loving and passionate can be encased in something so dark. So it's not just emotionally, psychologically. If we love HaKadosh Baruch Hu so much, how could we be stuck in Gullus? But cosmologically, if we are so kadosh and there's such a deep connection, how could the klipos, how could this darkness contain? And Hashem is telling Moshe, you'll never understand that. Don't try to understand that. There's something about HaKadosh Baruch Hu's will, as enigmatic and as contradictory and illogical as it sounds, that we should have such love for Him, even though you don't feel it, it's there. And it could be encased, rather than just breaking the klipos and breaking the gullos and just undoing this 1,700-year suffering. Hashem wants us to be here. Hashem has a plan for us to be here. And Hashem is telling Moshe, not just that I'm everywhere in this world, even in the Sneh, and not just that the Jewish people will survive, just like the Sneh survives the fire. And Hashem is saying there's a deep, encased pneumius. You may not be aware of it. You may be asleep. It seems ridiculous that it can exist under such containing and restraining conditions. Madua, human beings can't understand that. And therefore, Hashem tells Moshe, that's what Gullus will be like for future. Okay? Since I have you, I want to tell you my famous fire pshat. Just 1 minute, because I don't know when I'll have the next pshat. Now, let's move out of Hasidus. Let's move into science. Okay, what is fire? Fire is not a material, it's not a chemical. What is fire? Fire is a process. What do we call that process? Combustion. It's combined with oxidizing. Combustion. What's necessary for the process of fire? Three elements. Remember, they're science. Fuel, energy, light, heat. What else? Fuel and energy. What's missing? Oxygen. Without oxygen, very good. Without oxygen, they need three parts for the fire to succeed: fuel, energy, and something invisible, but without that, it wouldn't survive. Now, fire, yeah, I'm not discussing this Hashem, I'm just taking advantage of this opportunity. Fire also represents Torah. What are the three elements necessary for Torah to be started? That's why this is Harsina, this is the future Harsina, Mimino Esh Daslamo. What are the three elements in the process of Talmud Torah? Well, there's the part that gets consumed, what's that Torah knowledge? There's the energy, who provides the energy? Human beings, when you work hard at it. There's one element that you can't see that's also part of that process, not just Torah and humans. What's the missing element that you can't see, but it's all over the place? HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When you're learning Torah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is helping you learn Torah. Same as the oxygen. Without HaKadosh Baruch Hu's help, you won't learn Torah. That's why the snare wasn't burning yet, because the Jewish people didn't have Torah yet. So the fuel wasn't being lit up by the Am Yisrael. Am Yisrael, yet this is a pre-Har Sinai. Remember, there's going to be real fire at Har Sinai. It's going to consume the mountain. Har Ashan Ba'esh. But here, Am Yisrael hasn't received the Torah yet. So I'm saying, there's a fire, but it's not consuming, because I'm still waiting for that fire of the Jewish people to connect to Torah. And I'm there doing it. So this is not Hasidus. This is just a little bit of how understanding science helps you understand some of these imagery. Right? Did I tell you my rainbow? Remember the rainbow of art? Why is the rainbow the symbol of Hashem in Parshas Noach? Well, what color is transparent light? Go on, what's the answer scientifically? When I'm looking at you, you're looking at me, you're seeing all the entire spectrum. So basically, when there's everything, you see nothing. But when you have all the colors, you see nothing. When we see colors, we're only seeing part of that. What does that remind you of? That something is everything, therefore we can't see it. Hashem. So Hashem said, I'll show you part of it. I'll show you the everything once to remind you that I'm everything. That's why you can't fully see me. So at one point, I'll break the light into different parts of the spectrum to show you that you're when you see nothing, you're seeing everything. And so it's a symbol for Hashem. Sometimes you have to understand the science behind some of these phenomena to understand what they symbolize. Okay? Have a great day, everyone. Tomorrow.